about the fact that Easter is coming up. And I thought I'd do an early Easter talk. The difference is that most of us think of Easter in terms of the journey of Christ to the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection. But what's really interesting is to recognize that the journey, that whole journey and everything that's symbolized by that journey is really symbolic of our own journey. So today I'm going to share with you what the Course in Miracles shares about what it calls the Holy Week. And that's what this is, the Holy Week. And I'm going to do it slightly different in the sense that I'm going to take it and relate it to you personally, us personally, and see how it corresponds with our own personal journey. And so we're going to get some new descriptions. The first thing it says is this is Palm Sunday. So when you think about Palm Sunday, the Course in Miracles teaches that that what you're really celebrating this week is the celebration of the victory. That this whole week is supposed to be about the celebration of victory. And the celebration of victory is the acceptance of the truth. So the real victory is when I accept the truth for myself, and the real victory is when you accept the truth for yourself. And the truth for yourself is that you're innocent, that you're loving, that you're lovable, that you're spirit, that you're powerful, that you're creative, that you're not alone, and that you have guidance. That basically that you are love. So this is the week that we celebrate, that we accept the truth, which is that you deserve happiness and that you deserve love and that you deserve peace. So the next line says, let us not spend this holy week brooding on the crucifixion of God's Son, but happily in the celebration of his release. So we're going to spend the week not brooding about the things that we feel are not happening the way we want it to happen, or any negative thoughts or feelings or emotions that we may have about ourselves, not brooding about the fear, not brooding about the past, because that is the crucifixion. The crucifixion is any of the attack thoughts and lack thoughts that we have about ourselves that we're thinking all the time. That's our personal crucifixion. Some of us are still personally crucifying ourselves about mistakes or errors or something that happened in our childhood or the way that we were brought up or even the personal situation or circumstance that we're in right now. So this is the week that we celebrate the acceptance of the truth, and it's also the week that we celebrate the fact that we've been released. So what does that mean, to be released? Well, that means that whatever it is that happened in the past that a person is using to keep themselves from having peace right now, you have been released from that because it was in the past. And the past means gone. So there's no way we're not going to be released from the past when it's already gone. So you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to successfully let go of your past. You cannot not let go of what's already gone. So whether or not sooner or later you'll finally get over your childhood, it's inevitable, because if you look in the mirror, you've done a pretty good job. The childhood has been successfully relinquished. But some of us are still carrying it around in our minds and still crucifying ourselves about situations and circumstances and events that's happened in the past. So let's spend this week celebrating that we've been released, and let's spend this week celebrating that we were obviously stronger than anything that happened in the past. Because if you weren't stronger than that, you wouldn't be sitting up here today. So you are the strong one in this seeming conflict.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You'd be amazed at how much appreciation improves the quality of the speaking. I just like to throw that little hint out there. About it. Okay. All right. So then the next line goes, for Easter is the sign of peace, not pain. So to celebrate Easter is to celebrate peace. To celebrate Easter is not to celebrate pain. And many people use Easter as an opportunity to come together at church and celebrate pain. And all the emphasis is on the crucifixion, but not on the resurrection. All of the emphasis is in my own life sometimes is on the crucifixion and not on the resurrection. You know, the average person feels like if whatever is working pretty good, there's no need to focus on that. And what you need to focus on is everything that you wish were different. But that's the same as focusing on the crucifixion all the time and not focusing on the resurrection. If you focus on the idea that you are released from the past and you're released from those old attitudes and teachings that used to delay you, and focused on that, whatever you think about expands. Whatever you focus on expands. So if you focused on your release and you focused on your peace, that peace would extend into the next moment and create peace in that moment. And then that peace of that moment would extend into the next moment and create peace in that moment. But the average person is using the present moment to remember the past. And then in the present moment, they're interpreting their present moment in terms of the past. And then projecting that into the future and then reliving their past. And then they wonder why they see the same pattern over and over again. The present actually released you from the past. But what you did was you brought the past with you into the present. And then used thinking about the past and the present to project that past into the next moment. So time really took away the thing you're so unhappy about. That's right. That's exactly right. It's really about recognizing what's already happened. But if I don't love myself, if I don't love myself, if I don't love myself, I'm going to constantly think of the thoughts that crucify me. So if I don't love myself, I won't let the past go. Now, the only thing that happened in the past that was real were the loving thoughts. Only the loving thoughts are real. Let me give you an example. If you went back and you remembered when you got something for Christmas that you really wanted, and it seemed to happen in the past, and you feel good about that, well then you are really experiencing joy now. So the loving thought is real because the loving thought produces joy now, and joy is the only thing that's real. So when I remember the loving things, I'm not really remembering the past. I'm really remembering how it really is now. If I let myself have it, I could feel that joy again right now. So the thing that caused the joy was the illusion, because I'm not still getting the toy truck. Now I want a big SUV that has set me back about, you know, $90,000, and then worry about that. But, you know, we just adults with bigger toys now. We're just children with bigger toys, with bigger payments. But they are no more important to our true survival than the little toy truck that we had as a child. But the wonderful things that we allow ourselves to manifest in the physical world are just opportunities to practice our ability to manifest. And a child of God deserves the very best that life has to offer at whatever level life is expressing itself. So it's not any more holy to be in a one-room shack. And it doesn't mean you're less holy because you're in a 50-room mansion. You know what I'm saying? It's all opportunities to practice manifestation and not crucifying ourselves. You see what I'm saying? So the truth is, Easter then, we're going to be celebrating peace. We're not going to be celebrating pain. We're going to celebrate that we have gone beyond whatever the limitations were that we went through as children or in the past. And we're going to celebrate that we're accepting the truth about ourselves more than we ever have before. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. The next line goes, I love this, a slain Christ has no meaning.
That's true.
A slain Christ has no meaning. To focus on the fact that God's son was killed isn't exactly going to make people feel whoop-de-doo in their new clothes on Easter. You know what I'm saying? It's not. To think of a slain you has no meaning, because the Christ is the one self we all share. And so thinking of yourself as being slain or hurt or crucified, that has no meaning. But a risen Christ becomes the symbol of the Son of God's forgiveness on himself. What does that mean? When you are a risen Christ, when you are a risen self, then it means that you have forgiven yourself by recognizing that whatever you did in the past was an error, and the error can be corrected. And so therefore you're going to forgive yourself. And a risen Christ means that you look upon yourself now as healed, and you look upon yourself now as whole. So if you are sitting in this room today and you feel whole, and you're sitting in this room today and you feel peaceful, and you're sitting in this room today and you feel happy, then you have resurrected. You went through your crucifixion, which was whatever that was that caused you a lack of peace or pain or fear or upset or lack, and you come through it to the point that now you are strong, you're vibrant, you want the best for yourself, and you're ready to move forward. You have resurrected. Okay, isn't that great? So the truth is, a risen Christ symbolizes that you are looking at yourself as whole. That you're looking at yourself as healed. Those of you who have a really great resurrection, would you raise your hand? Thank you. There's been a lot of gratitude in your life, and you're feeling that you're stronger than you used to be, and you feel like you've gone beyond a lot of things that you used to use to hold you back. Those who have resurrected, raise your hand. Yeah, so you notice that there's been a resurrection since the last time I asked. So you know I'm bad. It's a resurrection discount, you know, if everybody was willing to. So I'm glad everybody took advantage of this resurrection special. This blue light resurrection special at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. It's almost like sometimes we're afraid to say we feel good. It's almost like if I say I feel good, the piano gonna fall on my head as soon as I walk down the mall. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like I protect myself by pretending that nothing's going right for me so that it won't go wrong. It's kind of trip, isn't it? Yeah, it's like if I admit to myself that I'm happy, then I'm going to lose it. But if I pretend that I'm sad, even when I'm happy, nothing's going to take it away. And the mind gets wired like that. Well, yeah, it's insane, but it really gets wired like that, where we almost are afraid to say I feel good, and afraid to say I feel loved, and I'm afraid to say I'm happy. So I'm saying that this morning we are celebrating our resurrection, which is the resurrection of Christ. Okay? Then the next sentence goes, this week begins with palms, and what did we say palms was? Well, that's the acceptance of the truth. So us holding these palms today could be looked at, this symbolizes today that I've accepted the truth. And all I'm doing is accepting that yesterday doesn't exist. I have resurrected from everything I went through yesterday. I've resurrected from everything I went through this morning. And I've resurrected through everything I went through in high school. And I've resurrected from everything I went through in my marriage. I've resurrected from that health condition that right now I'm not dealing with. And if I am dealing with one, then I know my job is to resurrect from it, okay? Not to crucify myself about it, because whatever the condition I'm in right now that's not making me happy or I do feel sick, that's my call for resurrection. That is my request to be resurrected. My headache is a request for resurrection. My bank account is a big request for resurrection. I need financial resurrection. You know, I could just see people in the bank all standing in line like that. You know what I'm saying? So, if you got your palm, what is it symbolizing? And that is what? I'm simply accepting the truth that I outlived my last moment. So I'm always being reborn every moment. And the funny part about it is we have a tendency to think the past created the present. And the truth is each moment is independent of every other moment. The only thing that's making this moment look like it was created by my past is that I'm taking the learnings of my past to interpret this moment. So that's what makes it look like it's, but really the past didn't cause it. If I had amnesia, would this moment still happen? Yeah. So the past, by knowing about my past, wasn't necessary for me to have this moment. You know, you are being born again every moment. Every moment is a resurrection. Every moment is a clean slate. So if you were to take this moment and say, in this moment, nothing from my past can touch me, and nothing from my future that would be negative can touch me, then you would have resurrected in this moment. Because this present moment is your point of power. All the power I'm going to ever have, I have it now. I can't use the power of 5 minutes ago. I can't use the power of 5 minutes from now. I can only use the power right now to reach you right now. So the only time we can even reach each other is in the present moment. That's deep.
That's deep.
Yeah, everybody that exists that I could ever communicate with in this world right now, the only time I can directly reach them is right now. And answer machines are examples of time shifting and time travel. You know, I leave a message for you that you listen to later, but that message actually didn't happen right now. In that moment, that message was actually in the past. But the cool part about it was that if that message is the truth, it still would be something you could use anytime. So even if I left you a message and I said, you are a powerful being that creates your own reality, and you heard it 6 months from now, that would be just as true 6 months from now as it would be now. So anything that's true is beyond time and space. But if I say, you need to pick me up in 5 minutes, and then you get the message 2 weeks later, that message has no meaning. And that's how you can tell the difference between what's real and what's not. If it's real, it's good anytime. Even if somebody was to pick up this tape recorder 5,000 years in the future and say, who was that brilliant black man that was teaching and they have a shrine and an Earlism takes over the whole world? if I'm saying thought is creative and you are innocent, would that be true 5,000 years from now? Yeah, it would be true 5,000 years from now. That's a universal law, so it's real. But would it be true that the clothes we're wearing is in fashion? Maybe not. You know what I'm saying? In my case, it still would be if I was around. I'm reincarnating and wearing my same clothes, so I won't have to spend no more money on clothes. But I'm staying for money. But the point that I'm making is, if it's real, it's eternal. If it's an illusion, it doesn't last. See the difference? So resurrection comes from getting in touch with what's real about yourself all the time. Crucifixion comes from believing something that's negative, that's not true about yourself, that's not going to last anyway.
Wow.
So most of the things that people are feeling unhappy about are things that time would take away anyway. I love it. Okay, you with me?
Yeah.
All right. I tell you, so I see some smoke coming out some ears. Everybody all right? Okay, everybody, okay, good, good. Sometimes I see brain matter come out of ears when I'm talking. The boy is saying something that makes sense. I'm in church. Okay. Because all of us are on a higher spiritual level than I think we give ourselves credit for. And many times we're not being communicated with on the level that our soul really is manifesting on. And that's what attracted me to unity in the first place, was the spiritual, metaphysical spirituality of it. And that it wasn't rooted in guilt and sin and attack and a fear for God. And that you couldn't have prosperity and abundance and somehow or another, you know, that wasn't a good thing. I love the positivity of it. And the power of it. And I love the fact that people who come to a unity church are usually people who want to focus on the love side of God instead of the fear side of God. And if you notice, there isn't a ton of people who want to focus on that. Surprisingly few. The churches in Memphis that teach hell, and I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and the churches in Memphis that teach hell and damnation, some of them are as large as 25,000 people. So you can get 25,000 people to come together to say they're guilty, but it's hard to get 50 people to come together and say they're innocent. And so I'm proud of us for being willing to choose for our innocence and to understand that people who are choosing other ways, they're following their path and that Spirit is going to direct them also. But I'm also saying, hey, I want to celebrate our resurrection and that we're having a resurrection party. Okay, that's what we're having right now. Okay, so now it said the next line, we take it line by line. The next line says, this week begins with palms, which is what? The acceptance of the truth. and ends with lilies. I love that. Lilies, metaphysically, lilies are just the white and holy sign that you're innocent. So lilies correspond with innocence. I love that. Palms correspond with the acceptance of the truth. So I am accepting the truth. What is the truth? I am innocent. Okay? And innocence is the one thought that will correct all errors and all pain in your life. If thought is creative and your thought creates your reality, the idea that you're innocent is saying, I do not deserve punishment and pain. Why? Because I am innocent. So a mind that knows its innocence is a mind that naturally attracts healing and abundance, because there's no reason why it shouldn't, because it's innocent. A mind that thinks it's guilty is a mind that thinks it deserves to be punished, and one form of punishment is lack, another form of punishment is relationships that don't work, another form of punishment can be sickness, but those are all calls for resurrection and calls for love, so you shouldn't feel guilty if you are experiencing any of those things. It's just, I'm asking you to stop crucifying yourself by trying to relieve yourself of your problems by thinking if you suffer long enough, you'll turn happy. You know, I used to be on that one. I suffer enough, and everything eventually be all right, right? You know the drill, right? Okay. So we are so smart that we believe that we're not going to hurt ourselves into joy. Okay, we're brilliant spiritual beings. You know, because you know, some of us are like, the worse I feel, the quicker the healing is going to happen. And so we just look depressed as we can, and then we say, well, maybe I just don't look depressed enough. You know, that's why nobody's helping me. I don't look depressed enough. You know, so if you are depressed, that's your call for love, your call for God, your call for resurrection, your call for help. So you're still innocent. So don't beat yourself up if you're not exactly skipping down the street today, okay, behind what I'm saying. If you're just using an incorrect way of correcting your condition, and you're still innocent. Okay, I'm just keep saying it, because it's your innocence that's your salvation, not your guilt, and not looking at yourself as sinful, which is a biggie in the world. Admit you're a sinner, and then you're going to be okay. Admit that I am flawed, then I will have perfection. I'm a little innocent child. I come into the church. I'm told that I am guilty and I'm sinful and I'm flawed, and God's Son died because of my sins, even though I was just born and it happened 2,000 years ago. And see, when I was a kid, I'd go, that don't make no sense. And I would see everybody around me going, amen, amen, yeah. You know, and I thought something was wrong with me. And then I would ask a question, you know, so wait a minute, why am I bad because of something that happened 2,000? Don't you question the Bible. And that was the end of that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, you do not question, you know, because then you see it's insane. The way it's being interpreted. The message and the love is real of it. But many interpretations of it are insane. Okay? And a person is going to interpret something based on what they believe about themselves and what they want for themselves. So a guilty person who doesn't love themselves, they're going to give you a guilty, fearful interpretation of the Bible. I've known people who were so giving and so loving and so kind, and I would say, well, what are you studying? And they say, the Bible. And then I meet other people who were condemning and judging everything and everybody. What you studied? The Bible. So what I saw was the Bible was neutral, and it depended on the level of consciousness of the person that was interpreting it, what they wanted to focus in on and emphasize. That's what's really happening. The person is basically loving, they'll see all the forgiving stuff. The person that wants to condemn and judge, then they're going to see all the condemning and judging stuff. So I realized I had to read it for myself. You see what I mean? And then if I wanted to feel guilty, then I'd get scared of the fearful stuff. And then if I wanted to feel good, I'd see the loving stuff, depending on where I was that day. But you are resurrected because you're at the point, and this is really cool, you're at the point where you have resurrected beyond your past learnings. And in this present moment, you can choose for yourself what you want to be your belief about God and about the truth. You are born again. You have peace. You are powerful. You are totally loved. And you should spend this week celebrating that you are innocent, and what you've ever done in the past was simply made some mistakes. And mistakes are not sins. Mistakes are for correction. And you have guidance to correction because you are loved by what created you. And me too. I appreciate y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Was that resurrection? Did I do a little resurrection? Yeah, I needed to hear that. I had a crown or two on my head this morning. That crown of thorns was on there. You know, my head bald. It really hurts. You know what I'm saying? I don't even have no hair. You know what I'm saying?
Would anyone like to help with God's instructions? I want to. Or abundance?